Welcome in to Vern's post-game show.
Massey not stopping at second and slides into third with a two-run triple.
Here's Josh Vernier.
Yeah, hello, 4-3, the final score. Royals drop the rubber game in Anaheim and lose the series. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. Again, that's 913-586-7610. This may sound strange, but my takeaway from this, the 17th loss of the season here in game number 22, this may sound strange, but these are the type of losses I think we expected. These are the type of defeats that we were bracing for as the season started. I say that because so often in the first, again, 22 games of the season, ladies and gentlemen, we have 140 remaining. All the emotions that we felt over the first 3-plus weeks of the season, all of that, we're going to do that like 6 more times. So we got a long way to go. And I promise you, I've been trying to keep that all in perspective. And yet, over the first 22 games, I've done my fair share of ranting and raving and whining and screaming, just like you have about this ball club, which, yeah, still 12 games below 500, still the second worst record in Major League Baseball. People are confused at times by, Vern, what are you so mad about? What did you expect from this team? You were telling us when spring training was concluding that you weren't quite sure about the talent on this roster. Right when the season started, shoot, for the final 2, 3, 4 weeks of spring training, I was sending out those smoke signals of, I love to subscribe to the optimistic spring training baseball reporter, baseball fan, but boys, I'm not seeing it right now. So we all expected more losses than wins over the course of the 162 game march through the summer. But the reason why I, and I think many of you, were angry numerous evenings on this show is because we didn't expect them to be the worst. We didn't expect them to be the second worst team in Major League Baseball. We didn't expect the stars of the offense to come up limp for the first few weeks. So I understand some sports fans, if you're not dialed into the Royals, I understand some sports fans being perplexed as to why fans of a team that has lost consistently, was expected to lose again this season. Why are they so mad that they're doing what we all knew that they were going to do? It's because of the rate at which they were doing it. See, this one today, this 4-3 loss, you can see the blossoming talent. You have a Bobby Witt Jr. home run, a Vinny Pasquantino home run, an MJ Melendez home run. Sure, you lose the game, but the Bobby blast on a 3-1 slider that he takes to right center field just because he is very, very similar to Mike Trout in that forearm and core power. The way their core can help them guide their hands to blasting one 400-plus feet. We saw Mike Trout lift a cutter that was down and out of the zone from Jordan Lyles out and over the right field wall. So a loss like this, these are ones where, I don't know about you, you tell me if I'm wrong. These are the type of losses where I go, okay, yeah, you know what, I can see silver linings. I can acknowledge that Bobby Witt Jr., over his last 12 games, hitting 333, an OPS of 927. I can acknowledge, hey, I'm Jay Melendez. After a big triple yesterday, he comes through with his first home run in almost 3 weeks. Now, we'll get an update from Matt Cotrero coming up momentarily on that low back tightness that forced him to leave the game heading into the bottom of the fourth inning. We'll get an update on MJ in just a moment. But I can acknowledge what he's doing at the plate, the improvement we've seen from him defensively, the improvement that we've seen defensively from Bobby to go along with the stolen base prowess, and of course the offensive output. I can acknowledge what Vinny Pasquantino's been doing, extending his on-base streak to now 17 games, a stretch in which he's posted an OPS of 983. See, these are the type of losses that I was willing to sign up for. Okay, you're only going to win 72, 74 games. You're going to lose 90 to 88, somewhere in that range. Okay. So long as I see some sort of down payment for future happiness. Watching Bobby, watching Vinny, watching MJ Melendez, even Jordan Lyles, giving you a chance to win six innings of four-run baseball. This is the type of game that I think we thought we'd see a lot of in 2023. Bobby, Vinny, and MJ doing big things. Jordan Lyles eating up innings. And we're just sitting around waiting for one of the complimentary pieces in this offense to do something nice. Needed Michael Massey, needed Kyle Isbell to come through with a runner in scoring position. Neither one of them able to do so. They go 0-for-3 in such situations. This is what we signed up for, correct? You let me know. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. It's also our text line number if you want to get in on the Jay's Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. Listen, if you do disagree, if you're a bottom line Royals fan, did they win or did they lose? If they win, good job. If they lost, I'm pissed off. Listen, I understand that as well. But getting angry after this game, that would be disingenuous of me. That would be me being a windbag on the radio. No, these are the type of losses that I can get accustomed to. Not happy about it. I wish Jordan Lyles didn't give up three consecutive home runs in the sixth inning. Sure, I wish the Royals could have taken advantage of their opportunities. I wish Freddie Freeman would have been doubled off of first base in the third. I wish that 6-7-8 spot in the lineup could have done a little bit more damage with the amount of base runners that they had present when at the dish. But I also acknowledge the talent disadvantage that this team is at more times than not. And you saw it all, you heard it all, as Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani responsible for three of the Angels' four runs. They combined to go 5-for-7 with two home runs, three RBI, and Shohei Ohtani had a base hit to the first baseman. How do you do that? I'm not even knocking Vinny Pasquantino. Shohei Ohtani hit a single to the first baseman. He's one of the three best pitchers on the planet. He's one of the 10 best hitters on the planet. And he's one of the three fastest baseball players on the planet. There's a reason why I call him the greatest weapon this sport has ever seen. All right, so phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. We'll get to your thoughts. We'll also get an update from Q on MJ Melendez. That's all coming up after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app.
Steve Stewart on the call, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. That would be the final score. Royals drop the finale in Anaheim, losing the series to the Angels 4-3, the final score. But Bobby matches teammate Vinny Pasquantino for the team lead now with four home runs. Vinny, just the inning previous, belted a solo job of his own. Vinny doing so on an 0-2 offering from the lefty Reed Detmers. an 0-2 slider on the outside part of the dish. Vinny put just a beautiful swing on this thing and sends it and gives the Royals at that time, top of the sixth inning, a 2-1 lead. Unfortunately, Jordan Lyles would give that lead right back. Taylor Ward would bang a hanger to lead off the sixth inning, first pitch of the sixth inning. Here's a lead, and he gives it right back. And that was actually the story of the game, if we want to... I was about to say, if we want to nitpick, but I caught myself. If we want to treat this team like a professional baseball team that is competing for the postseason. If we want to treat the now 5-17 Royals as if they're competing for the postseason, well, then this game boils down to Jordan Lyles' inability to give you that shutdown inning. Because the Royals scored right out of the gate. MJ Melendez, in the first inning, belts a hanging curveball from the aforementioned left-hander Reed Detmers, gives the Royals a 1-0 lead, but in the bottom half of the frame, to the very first batter, Jordan Lyles walks Taylor Ward. Walks the leadoff man. He ends up coming around to score the game-tying run. Yeah, that's all on Jordan Lyles. No defending him there. Normally not a wise decision to walk the hitter that bats before Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani. Jordan Lyles learned that, walking Ward and then giving up a rocket double to Mike Trout and a sack fly to Shohei Ohtani. Just like that, a lead is now a 1-1 game. So Vinny belts that home run in the sixth to make it 2-1 Kansas City. And the first pitch of the bottom half of that frame, again, the aforementioned Taylor Ward, crushes a hanger and ties it up. Three pitches later, Mike Trout lifts a cutter down and out of the zone. Again, he's one of the greatest of all time for a reason. That was an amazing piece of hitting. Again, a cutter down and out of the zone. We all know Mike Trout's a great low ball hitter. And he showed it again. He went down and poked that thing somehow to the right of center field. Just special. Legendary. And then five pitches after that, Shohei Ohtani belted a curveball that was basically put on a tee, just left up by Jordan Lyles, and that makes it 4-1. Bobby's home run would make it 4-3. Excuse me, that made it 4-2. Bobby's home run would make it 4-3. So Royals gave Jordan Lyles a chance to pick up his first victory of the season, but unfortunately he was unable to. Six innings of four-run baseball, four runs on four hits, one walk, and five strikeouts. He's now 0-4 on the season. Lyles, over the course of five starts, has given the team well over six innings on average per start. I got to be honest with you. I'm happy with what the Royals have received over the first month of the season from Jordan Lyles. Two-year, $17 million deal. This is the kind of stuff I was expecting. Now, I don't know if I was expecting him to be the number two on this team 22 games into the season. Now, I was hoping Chris Bubich would have leapfrogged him, but obviously Bubich is on the IL. You know, you hope that Daniel Lynch was making strides. Instead, a rotator cuff knocked him out in spring training. You know, Brady Singer's having a rough go to begin his 2023. So to me, Jordan Lyles is doing what he's being asked to do, what he's paid to do. Vinny Pasquantino's doing what he's expected to do. So is Bobby. Maybe MJ's starting to come out of it. Those are the things that I look for in a season that 22 games into it feels as if we need to, even though I'm not a fan of doing this, but the 5-17 record certainly gives me a nudge towards embracing the evaluation season of 2023, no longer getting hung up on wins and losses and treating this ball club like they're a professional team vying for the postseason. I hate to say it, but this is the first time I've felt it, where I felt, hey, they lost, but you know what? Blah, 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 blah. I don't think I've had this feeling all season. I've had, well, they lost, tip your cap to the opposition. They were just a lot better, like the Atlanta series. I don't know if I really got upset after any of those Braves losses. They were just a lot more talented than you are. But this one today is the first time I went, yeah, they lost, but you know what? Bobby, MJ, Vinny all went deep in the same game for the first time. That's never happened before. And Jordan Lyles is doing his thing. Did you see what Josh Taylor did, the guy that he got in return for Edilberto Mondesi? After a leadoff double to Mike Trout and an infield single to Shohei Ohtani, Josh Taylor found himself with the back up against the wall. Runners on the corners, nobody out, Royals clinging to a one-run deficit, and Josh Taylor strikes out Hunter Renfro with a slider, blows a fastball past Renjifo, and gets Gio Urshela to ground out to end the frame and end the threat, leaving both Trout and Ohtani stranded. I hate to say it, but I'm starting to feel like I'm now turning the page, that I'm now viewing this team through the lens of 2024. It's April 23rd, and yet I think it's the only way to keep your sanity, ladies and gentlemen. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Royals drop the finale in Anaheim. Final score, 4-3. Let's go to the text line, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. From the 913, Vern, I agree, good loss. I don't know if that was meant to be sarcastic, but that's how I read it, and I understand. I understand hearing some bozo on the radio tell you, hey, your favorite team lost again, but don't worry about it because this guy hit a home run. No, I get that. I get the fan that says, I'm not celebrating a loss. Maybe I did that in 18 and 19, maybe even in 2020 and 21. But I was sick of it last year, and I'm certainly not going to do it this year. Listen, I understand that mindset, and I'm not going to attempt to convince you otherwise. But personally, I can't bang my head against the wall for the next 5 months until the team gives me a reason to believe that I can start judging them by the bottom line, wins and losses. Until we get to that point, yeah, I am going to enjoy losses like this. And it goes against, you know, everything that we as sports fans are about. But until they show me something, or until this pitching staff has a jolt of energy from someone, there's just no honest way to expect this team to compete on a nightly basis. Brad Keller on the Hill tomorrow. Brady Singer goes in game two against Arizona, and we're still waiting to find out who's going to be pitching Wednesday's game. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. Let's go to Bill in Overland Park. Bill, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
You know your stuff. Speak honestly. And I think it gives me hope that with a voice like yours in the community, I think the leadership at the team will listen and understand that the fans demand more. I wanted to ask you about the article in the Star today about the push and pull with the stadium. I know the stadium's been discussed a lot. I know your views about it, but, you know, do you think there's a point at which the momentum for the stadium is going to fade in light of the pathetic performance of the team? I'll hang up and listen to your thoughts on that off the air.
Appreciate the phone call. I don't. Because I believe the downtown stadium was a part of the plan all along. When the ownership group originally purchased the franchise, I think they had this in mind. Every time I bring it up to John Sherman, you know, all these press conferences he has, when everyone, all they want to do is talk about the stadium and they want to talk about the TV deal, and I want to blow the whole place up because I'm here to talk about baseball. That's what I always want to scream in these press conferences, and I know I'm all alone. Everyone asking them all about the stadium and the East Village and this and that, the TV deal and Bally's and this and that, man, I don't care. I know every game's on 610 Sports Radio. I know every game's on the Odyssey app. I don't care where you play them. I just want you to win them. Now, that's where I'm at. So I always ask the question, hey, what do you say to the fans that believe you're too distracted with this stadium to focus on this 5-17 product that you're putting on the field? And John Sherman's reaction is pretty much always the same. Got to be able to chew gum and walk at the same time. You know, basically telling you one doesn't really have to do with the other. They're mutually exclusive. Yes, they're under the same umbrella of the Kansas City Royals, but one does not have to do with the other. And then he proceeds to tell us about how his first waking thought every morning is about that ball club out there on the field. But again, my thoughts, no, the stadium's happening. It'll get the votes, because when billionaires want something in the United States of America, they get it, or they go somewhere else where they can get it. Now, John Sherman's not taking this team anywhere because he knows, like I know, they're getting this stadium. He's got nothing to worry about. And to your point about the leadership, you know, hoping that they, I know they listen. I know they listen to hear what you guys are saying. I don't know if they care so much about what I'm saying, but if they do, I'll reiterate something that I don't know how well it's hitting the ears right now of the organization or even some of you Royals fans. You know, I talk about this rotation and the importance of Jordan Lyles and how it appears right now. He's the number two. It's him. It's Greinke. It's Brady Singer. All of them with like a 4+ ERA. They've all given the team a chance to win. None of them really been great, I guess. They've been fine. I got nothing bad to say about Greinke. Nothing bad to say about Lyles. And I believe Brady Singer's going to lock back into the guy we saw last year. But my concern is about next year, right? Especially as I continue to ease into this evaluation season. I hate to do it, but as I begin to embrace this, okay, all right, let's start looking at this thing through the lens of 2024 and build for the future and all that garbage we've been doing for years. So as I ease into that, I start looking at this team through the lens of 24. And I don't like it. I don't like the pitching staff right now, because who's under contract right now for 2024? Brady Singer, yes. Jordan Lyles is in the final year of his deal next year. And then who else? Greinke's a free agent. Who knows about Greinke? Brad Keller's a free agent after this season, so who knows about Keller? Daniel Lynch is currently hurt, so I'm certainly not going to pencil him into the opening day rotation next year. And we know Chris Bubich won't be ready to be in the opening day rotation next year. So you're telling me you got two starting pitchers right now? Okay, maybe Lynch stays healthy and is the number three. Okay. How are you going to fill those other two roles Is it free agency? Are they going to spend big for two starting pitchers? Because if you're going to compete next year, you don't compete with Daniel Lynch penciled in as your number three. Or Jordan Lyles as your number two. Need to have a horse or two up there. So you got to go buy a horse. You got to buy another starter. The offense is going to need some help, right? Spend big in the free agent market for a pair of bats as well. That doesn't strike me as something that this organization's going to do, because this organization is letting it be known we are trying to emulate other small market teams that win consistently. Cleveland, Tampa. They don't sign four big-name free agents in one offseason. So if you're not going to do that, it's time to start asking very difficult questions. Should we trade Salvador Perez, who will be a free agent at the end of next season? Should we trade Brady Singer, who will be 28 at the end of next season? Do we trade Vinny Pasquantino, who will be 27 at the end of next season? Now, I've said it before. I was on last Monday with Bob Fesco. He said, you know, everyone's on the trade block, and I agree wholeheartedly. I do not believe you would get enough in return to let Bobby Witt Jr. go. I can't imagine some team backing up the prospect Brinks truck to pry Bobby Witt Jr. out of Kansas City. I cannot foresee that happening. But everyone else on the roster, look, you're not going to turn this thing around with an Aroldis Chapman trade. You need to do something big. And if the question marks are as large as they appear for next season, I can't wait to see what J.J. Piccolo does this year at the deadline, what he does this offseason in the trade market. Because I thought he had a terrific trade deadline last year. Anxious to see what's coming down the pike over the next 3 months. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. This from Matt Cotrero, Royals manager. He tells Joel Goldberg of Bally Sports Kansas City tweeting this out. Q tells Dave Holtzman in the postgame news conference that MJ Melendez is back tightened, not on a specific play, but jogging off the field after the bottom of the third. He couldn't get it loosened up. Doesn't sound too serious, but we should have a further update tomorrow from Arizona. Okay, so Matt Cotrero never sounds too concerned about anything, so I don't know how much we can read into that. Protect MJ Melendez. You're 5-17. You're facing a lefty tomorrow night. I would expect MJ to have a seat tomorrow night and maybe take a seat for a lot longer than that. All right, phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. The text line is there as well. And my game notes are brought to you by J Southland Tow Service. A few other game notes here. Shout out Freddie Fermin collecting his first Major League base knock, a single to left in the third. He was promptly doubled off of first base by Mike Trout just two pitches later. But nonetheless, hopefully that part of the story will fade into the background as the Fermin family grows over the years. Congrats to Michael Massey for his first multi-hit game of the season. Massey goes 2-for-4. Only him and Vinny had multi-hit afternoons in Anaheim. Speaking of Vinny, he has now reached base safely in 18 consecutive starts. Royals lose, though, 4-3. The final score, the record is now 5-17. We take a quick timeout and get back to your thoughts after this.
Burns Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Jake Eisenberg on the call, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. MJ Melendez's first home run in 20 days. Takes that 2-2 curveball and puts the Royals ahead. Short-lived lead as Jordan Lyles would give it right back in the bottom half of the first. 1-1 as this game goes to the sixth. Vinny Pasquantino belts a home run to put the Royals ahead 2-1. Jordan Lyles would give it right back. Three consecutive home runs in the sixth inning. Taylor Ward, Mike Trout, and Shohei Ohtani. That makes it 4-2 Angels. Bobby Witt Jr. hits his fourth home run of the season, and that's how we get to our final score. 4-3 Angels take the series, and the Royals now head to Arizona to face the first-place Arizona Diamondbacks for the first of three tomorrow night. If you were watching on television or at the game, you may have seen a new addition to the Royals' dugout. Now, I didn't see this at Kauffman Stadium, and they haven't hit a home run since leaving Kauffman Stadium until today. So maybe they intended to implement this on Friday in the opener of this 10-game road trip, but never had the opportunity. But after MJ Melendez hit that first inning home run, he arrives into the dugout to a sea of smiling faces. His teammates are ready to embrace him and put their home run helmet on MJ. He wore it in the first, Vinny wore it in the sixth, Bobby wore it in the seventh. It was a silver helmet with that, looked like a Spartan helmet, but with spikes on it as well. I don't have the backstory yet, so I don't want to make too much of it to the good or the bad. It's certainly not unique, right? We've seen every team in Major League Baseball over the past year plus have some sort of home run celebration. They put you in the laundry carts. They put the samurai helmet on you. In Detroit, they're putting a hockey helmet on you. In Baltimore, they're doing the chug in the water thing and the sprinkler thing. Look, I'm all for the celebrations. Who could ever forget the Wolf Pack that Lo Kane and Gerard Dyson and the guys used to do? Give it back to the dugout. I mean, we've all learned from Rex Hudler over the years about positive body language and being a good teammate. So I'm all for celebrations and things that encourage the us against everyone mentality. If you're not in this dugout, then you're not with us. I love that stuff. Just hope it's not forced. I hope they do enjoy it. Like that little TikTok celebration they have. When a guy gets an extra base hit, they kind of do that weird little leg kick and then they flash a peace sign. I'm not on TikTok, so I don't know what that's in reference to, but MJ and Massey and Vinny, MJ and Bobby have told me about, it's a TikTok video, and after you get an extra base hit, you look to the dugout and you've seen Salvi do it. Matt Duffy's doing the TikTok peace sign, leg kick thing after he hits a couple doubles last night. So I'm all for it if it's authentic, if it's coming from a real place, but if you're doing it just to project that, hey, we're having fun like other teams are, if it's forced, I'm not a fan of it. They were smiling. They were looking like they were having a good time. So from the text line and the 913, Vern, they need a winner's helmet. Who cares about a home run helmet? All right, yeah, all right. Well, shut up then. So I'm not allowed to have fun. I can't even acknowledge that they might be having fun. All right, okay. Let's go to the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Riley in Lotawana writes in, Vern, I saw this coming months ago when we made the Jordan Lyles signing. Hard to have culture change when you're strutting out a walking white flag like Jordan Lyles. I get somebody has to start, but good Lord, why him? It's a bad message to the young guys to bring in a proven loser, innings eater, or not. Wow. I certainly don't think that's fair. And that Baltimore thing turned around, and he was a vet in that clubhouse with all those young guys coming up. I don't know if he's a proven. He's been on losing teams, sure. I don't know if that makes him a proven loser. I mean, Salvi's lost more games than he's won in his career. Salvi's not a loser. Here's what I'll give you, Riley. Jordan Lyles can't be your second best starting pitcher. Right, if you want to compete, in my opinion, Jordan Lyles can't be your second best starting pitcher. Now, 2 years, $17 million isn't normally a team's second best starting pitcher. If Jordan Lyles is the number four on this team, right, if it's Brady Singer and Chris Bubich and Zach Greinke or Daniel Lynch, if there are three pitchers outperforming Jordan Lyles, no, he's a asset. I'm glad he's on the team. You need innings eaters. Now, Jordan Lyles, to me, is not the issue. The signing of Jordan Lyles is not the issue, in my opinion. Now, Jordan Lyles can't be the, everyone shut up, press conference time, we got a big signing, this is our big signing of the offseason. And he was. Okay, so along those lines, yeah, okay, I can get with that. But I was saying as much on this very station throughout the offseason. We ended last year by me begging the organization, go sign three pitchers. A closer and two name starters. Two starting pitchers that are going to cost you north of $10 million. And didn't do that. Well, they bring in Aroldis Chapman, but he'll be out of here in a few months. Yeah, no, I was looking more along the lines of sure, Jordan Lyles could be the third. You bring in Jordan Lyles, you bring in Sean Manaea, you bring in Kyle Gibson. Okay, now we're talking about something here. So I understand maybe, Riley, the point you're driving at, but to call Jordan Lyles a proven loser, I think, is unfair, in my opinion. From the 417, Vern, half the players on the Royals wouldn't make a roster on any other team. Again, I don't think that is factual. You're saying more than, you're saying 14 of the 26 on the roster wouldn't make another team? I don't know if we have time to go through that, but I have to disagree. Yeah. I mean, we could. I mean, the three starting pitchers of Lyles and Greinke, and I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. It's just wrong. Simply put, that's wrong. Back to the text line, 913-586-7610. From the 918, Vern, my concern so far is, yes, it's early, but so far, none of the evaluation guys have shown much of anything. Bobby, MJ, Vinny, Salvi, they're still going to need complementary pieces if things are going to be any different next year and beyond. All right, thanks for the text. A few things. Yeah, I agree that Bobby, Vinny, MJ, and Salvi are going to need complementary pieces. No debating that. And you got to acknowledge that one-third of the players that we were hoping to evaluate are already hurt. Bubich, Lynch, and Drew Waters. Right, I think it's nine guys that we're evaluating. At least until a Michael Garcia gets up here. By the way, Michael Garcia made his fourth straight start today at third base for the Omaha Storm Chasers. He doubled, drove in a run, scored a run, drew a walk, raised his OPS to 828. First multi-hit game of the season. Massey goes 2-for-4. Only him and Vinny had multi-hit afternoons in Anaheim. Speaking of Vinny, he has now reached base safely in 18 consecutive starts. Royals lose, though, 4-3. The final score, the record is now 5-17. We take a quick timeout and get back to your thoughts after this.
Burns Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app.
Jake Eisenberg on the call, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. MJ Melendez's first home run in 20 days. Takes that 2-2 curveball and puts the Royals ahead. Short-lived lead as Jordan Lyles would give it right back in the bottom half of the first. 1-1 as this game goes to the sixth. Vinny Pasquantino belts a home run to put the Royals ahead 2-1. Jordan Lyles would give it right back. Three consecutive home runs in the sixth inning. Taylor Ward, Mike Trout, and Shohei Ohtani. That makes it 4-2 Angels. Bobby Witt Jr. hits his fourth home run of the season, and that's how we get to our final score. 4-3 Angels take the series, and the Royals now head to Arizona to face the first-place Arizona Diamondbacks for the first of three tomorrow night. If you were watching on television or at the game, you may have seen a new addition to the Royals' dugout. Now, I didn't see this at Kauffman Stadium, and they haven't hit a home run since leaving Kauffman Stadium until today. So maybe they intended to implement this on Friday in the opener of this 10-game road trip, but never had the opportunity. But after MJ Melendez hit that first inning home run, he arrives into the dugout to a sea of smiling faces. His teammates are ready to embrace him and put their home run helmet on MJ. He wore it in the first, Vinny wore it in the sixth, Bobby wore it in the seventh. It was a silver helmet with that, looked like a Spartan helmet, but with spikes on it as well. I don't have the backstory yet, so I don't want to make too much of it to the good or the bad. It's certainly not unique, right? We've seen every team in Major League Baseball over the past year plus have some sort of home run celebration. They put you in the laundry carts. They put the samurai helmet on you. In Detroit, they're putting a hockey helmet on you. In Baltimore, they're doing the chug in the water thing and the sprinkler thing. Look, I'm all for the celebrations. Who could ever forget the Wolf Pack that Lo Kane and Gerard Dyson and the guys used to do? Give it back to the dugout. I mean, we've all learned from Rex Hudler over the years about positive body language and being a good teammate. So I'm all for celebrations and things that encourage the us against everyone mentality. If you're not in this dugout, then you're not with us. I love that stuff. Just hope it's not forced. I hope they do enjoy it. Like that little TikTok celebration they have. When a guy gets an extra base hit, they kind of do that weird little leg kick and then they flash a peace sign. I'm not on TikTok, so I don't know what that's in reference to, but MJ and Massey and Vinny, MJ and Bobby have told me about, it's a TikTok video, and after you get an extra base hit, you look to the dugout and you've seen Salvi do it. Matt Duffy's doing the TikTok peace sign, leg kick thing after he hits a couple doubles last night. So I'm all for it if it's authentic, if it's coming from a real place, but if you're doing it just to project that, hey, we're having fun like other teams are, if it's forced, I'm not a fan of it. They were smiling. They were looking like they were having a good time. So from the text line and the 913, Vern, they need a winner's helmet. Who cares about a home run helmet? All right, yeah, all right. Well, shut up then. So I'm not allowed to have fun. I can't even acknowledge that they might be having fun. All right, okay. Let's go to the Jays Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Riley in Lotawana writes in, Vern, I saw this coming months ago when we made the Jordan Lyles signing. Hard to have culture change when you're strutting out a walking white flag like Jordan Lyles. I get somebody has to start, but good Lord, why him? It's a bad message to the young guys to bring in a proven loser, innings eater, or not. Wow. I certainly don't think that's fair. I mean, that Baltimore thing turned around, and he was a vet in that clubhouse with all those young guys coming up. I don't know if he's a proven... He's been on losing teams, sure. I don't know if that makes him a proven loser. I mean, Salvi's lost more games than he's won in his career. Salvi's not a loser. Here's what I'll give you, Riley. Jordan Lyles can't be your second-best starting pitcher. Right? If you want to compete, in my opinion, Jordan Lyles can't be your second-best starting pitcher. Now, 2 years, $17 million isn't normally a team's second-best starting pitcher. If Jordan Lyles is the number four on this team, right? If it's Brady Singer and Chris Bubich and Zach Greinke or Daniel Lynch, if there are three pitchers outperforming Jordan Lyles, no, he's an asset. I'm glad he's on the team. You need innings eaters. Now, Jordan Lyles, to me, is not the issue. The signing of Jordan Lyles is not the issue, in my opinion. Now, Jordan Lyles can't be the... Everyone, shut up. Press conference time. We got a big signing. This is our big signing of the offseason. And he was. Okay, so along those lines, yeah, okay, I can get with that. But I was saying as much on this very station throughout the offseason. We ended last year by me begging the organization, go sign three pitchers. A closer and two name starters. Two starting pitchers that are going to cost you north of $10 million. And didn't do that. Well, they bring in Aroldis Chapman, but he'll be out of here in a few months. Yeah, no, I was looking more along the lines of... Sure, Jordan Lyles could be the third. You bring in Jordan Lyles, you bring in Sean Manaea, you bring in Kyle Gibson. Okay, now we're talking about something here. So I understand maybe, Riley, the point you're driving at, but to call Jordan Lyles a proven loser, I think, is unfair, in my opinion. From the 417, Vern, half the players on the Royals wouldn't make a roster on any other team. Again, I don't think that is factual. You're saying more than 14 of the 26 on the roster wouldn't make another team. I don't know if we have time to go through that, but I have to disagree. Yeah, I mean we could. I mean the three starting pitchers of Lyles and Greinke. And I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. It's just wrong. Simply put, that's wrong. Back to the text line, 913-586-7610. From the 918, Vern, my concern so far is, yes, it's early, but so far, none of the evaluation guys have shown much of anything. Bobby, MJ, Vinny, Salvi, they're still going to need complementary pieces if things are going to be any different next year and beyond. All right, thanks for the text. A few things. Yeah, I agree that... Bobby, Vinny, MJ, and Salvi are going to need complimentary pieces. No debating that. And you got to acknowledge that one third of the players that we were hoping to evaluate are already hurt. Bubich, Lynch, and Drew Waters. Right, I think it's nine guys that we're evaluating. At least until a Michael Garcia gets up here. By the way, Michael Garcia made his fourth straight start today at third base for the Omaha Storm Chasers. He doubled, drove in a run, scored a run, drew a walk, raised his OPS to 828. But he also made a pair of errors at third base, a throwing error and a fielding error. But yeah, nine guys, I would say, until... Garcia gets here. Nine guys that you're truly evaluating. Bobby at short. MJ. Vinny at first. Isbell in center. Singer. And then the three that are banged up. Lynch. Bubich. Waters. And you can throw Massey in there as well. So there's nine players that are the focal points of this evaluation season that is 2023, and one third of them already on the shelf. So yeah, that hurts. It hurts when you're losing and you're not accomplishing the type of goals that you set out to accomplish, or you're going to be unable to accomplish those goals, certainly with a guy like Chris Bubich. But what I would disagree with you about is your assertion that Bobby, MJ, Vinny, and Salvi haven't shown much of anything. Because to me, defensively, Bobby has shown improvement. At last check, Fangraphs defensive rating had Bobby as one of the seven best defensive shortstops in the sport. Had Vinny as one of the five best defensive first basemen in the sport. Now, you know what Bobby's been doing offensively. You know what Vinny's been doing at the plate. And MJ Melendez has impressed me with his defense. The strides he's made in the outfield and the improvement he's made behind the dish. Hopefully, this lower back tightness isn't anything to be overly concerned about, and he can continue the strides forward that we've seen offensively over the past few nights in Anaheim. 913-586-7610. That's the text line number. That's also the phone line. 913-586-7610. And a quick reminder, as the Royals drop the finale in Anaheim 4-3, a reminder that on Thursday, night one of the NFL draft, the Royals game is going to move over to the FM dial. On Deck Show, the game itself against Minnesota, and the postgame show will all be on our sister station, Alt 96.5. And of course, you can always listen to the Royals game right there on your phone or your smart speaker by utilizing the Odyssey app. So Thursday night, the 27th, only night one of the draft, as 610 Sports Radio has it covered from every corner of the city. Only on that night, Royals game over on the FM dial, Alt 96.5. Few more from the Jay Southland Tow Service text line from the 913. Vern, the stadium is happening. I don't understand why people are against it. It's going to bring a lot to the community, and having a downtown ballpark city is going to be so much fun. Yeah, I think so. I agree with that. Simply put, from the 913, Vern, bottom line, we want a winner. From the 206, Vern, don't you think that people are always talking about the stadium and the TV deal because it's far more interesting than the bad baseball team we have? Possibly. Possibly. From the 918, Vern, we're less than 25 games into the season and we're already talking about evaluation for 2024? Oh my God, it's pathetic. Anyone concerned about where the stadium is has lost the plot, Vern. Can't argue with that. Joey in Grain Valley's hoping that the offense wakes up. Happy to see the solo home runs. Yeah, I wish a few guys were on base. Solo job from MJ in the first, Vinny in the sixth, Bobby in the seventh. There are your three runs. Anaheim gets its four runs on a solo job from Taylor Ward. Another one from Mike Trout, another one from Shohei Ohtani, and a leadoff walk. That's how they get their four runs. Let's get one more from the text line. It's from our good buddy Dan and KCK. Giving a quick shout-out to Jordan Lyles, who today fell to 0-4 despite giving his team six innings and a chance to win. You can roll your eyes all you want. The issue isn't Jordan Lyles giving you six innings and a chance to win. It's the fact that he's your number one or your number two right now. And that's the expectation. And if he's not your number two, Zach Greinke's your number two. And the expectation was Zach Greinke, five innings and a chance to win. You really only have one guy that you give the ball to and say, go win the game. You give the ball to Jordan Lyles saying, give us a chance. Zach, give us a chance. Brady, go win the game for us. Tomorrow, it's Brad Keller. Brad, give us a chance. Right? Isn't that the mindset? It's Brad Keller facing the lefty, Tommy Henry. 6:40 for the first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 5:30 following Carrington Harrison on the drive. I'll join Fesco in the morning tomorrow at 8:30 as they kick off draft week. Thanks to Chris Unocero for all the help. Don't forget, the Character Concerns podcast has everything you NFL draft nuts could possibly need. Find it now on the Odyssey app. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 5:30. Royals lose 4-3. Enjoy your Sunday.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Diving is MJ Melendez. Did he make that catch? He did!
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
And a swing and a miss. He struck him out with a fastball. Seventh strikeout for Daniel Lynch.
On your home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.